anything, any New Year's resolutions, whatever you want to call it, goals or whatever, I'm not going to write any of those down. And I'm really just going to give you a blank page, God. I'm going to say, God, whatever this year holds for me and my family, for whatever, God, I'm giving you a blank page. Or have you already written out a whole book full of what it is that you want to achieve this year? What is the stuff that you want? The Bible says in Psalm, it says that we must give God the desires of our heart. Delight yourself, and He will give you the desires of your heart. But God is the one who ultimately sets and gives the desires, eh? God is the one who ultimately prevails. His word prevails above everything. So what God's spoken over you will come to pass. It's not the words that you've spoken over yourself that will come to pass. So how have you entered into this year? So before I go to the next slide and I start my sermon today, I just want you to look at that picture. Put yourself on the side. Don't tell the person next to you. This is between you and the Lord. If it is that you're on the scribble side where you have already filled your 2024 with a scribbled and it's full already from top to bottom, if that is you, then keep yourself in that box. But if you are the one that has it on a blank page, then keep it there. Because what I'm going to share today is about a story in the Bible. So we know that the book, the Bible is God's breath word, but the Bible is also for us to have a guidelines on how to live. So what when we look at it as scholars of the word, we are all scholars of the word, but the theologians, when we look at it, we read it like a newspaper. Have you heard that thing already? You read the Bible like you're reading a newspaper. You stay fruitful to the text, but it remains fruitful to the times. So you don't take out whatever the word says here. Remember when Luke wrote the book of Luke, which we're going to speak about today. The book of Luke was written in a certain time for a certain group and for a certain audience. Okay. The best thing would have been if the Bible was a newspaper. Because if our children's going to read a newspaper when they grow up, which was printed in our time, they have to stay faithful to the text. But it can be fruitful to the times. So what I'm saying that is that what is the intent meaning of the author that it's written in? Who are the audience that is writing this book? When we read the book of Luke, we know that Luke was a doctor. Luke didn't spend time with Jesus, but he was an apprentice of Paul. He traveled with Paul. He spent most of his time with Paul. And that's how he wrote the book of Acts. By spending time with Paul. Looking at Paul. Spending intentionality with Paul. Becoming an apprentice of Paul. So all the apostles was apprentices of Jesus. So we know that Peter spent time with Jesus. And that's why Peter wrote via John Mark, the book of Mark, which was the first gospel that was given to us. The first manuscript of the gospel that was written was Mark. So Mark is Peter's account of how Jesus... That's why when you read the book of Mark, all you read is the signs and wonders that Jesus does. The book of Mark starts with, "And he was crying out in the wilderness, and a voice out of the wilderness was saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.'" Speaking about John the Baptist. Immediately going into Jesus' baptism, where Jesus, his identity has been confirmed in front of millions of people who were on that earth, on the earth that time, because when God spoke, everyone heard him. God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." So Luke, who never spent time with Jesus, but actually spent time with Paul, Luke was so curious about this life of Jesus that he actually did a whole research on Jesus' life. And that's why we have Luke as one part of the Gospels. Because he had an interest in the life of Jesus. So after Jesus left, ascended into heaven, while he was walking with Paul, he had an urgency on his heart to record the stuff that he's read. And that's why you'll see most of the stuff that he had was he spent time with a lot of people, Paul included. He spent time with, I think it's a chosen who really shows it to us in a good way, where he's Luke sitting with Mary and he's writing down what Mary's saying, the mother of Jesus, and he's writing down the words of Mary. That's why you see the book of Luke starts. Luke 1 starts about Jesus's, John the Baptist's, talking about John the Baptist, saying John the Baptist is the one who's going to prepare the way for the Lord, and his father getting to know that, hey, my wife is going to conceive a son and he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. And we read in Luke 2, where we read over Christmas times, most of the times, where it's about Jesus' birth, Jesus becoming flesh, pinching, staying among us, living the life that we're doing. And we read the book, and then you realize that something about this doctor is different to other doctors. Because this doctor has a desire to make known the life of Jesus. Hey? And then we read and we go on and we read a bit about where Jesus spent time with people at their houses. Luke speaks about Jesus eating with sinners constantly. Jesus preaching the gospel to the lost. Jesus feeding the 5,000 men and women. But Luke also writes, and Matthew captures this moment, which is what you're going to come today to. The next slide. Thank you to you. This story. So before I read the story, I just want us to take the scenario. So John the Baptist, he's the one that we said he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesies, he's the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, repent for the kingdom of God. He's the one that I'm not worthy of touching his sandals off. When the Lord approaches, he's like, Lord, you should baptize me, I shouldn't baptize you. And then Jesus says, go ahead so that we can show them the life that is pleasing to the Father. A step of obedience. We know that baptism is a public declaration to the world out there to say, I, Bradley, dies today because I'm choosing Jesus. The old me is dying today, and that's what baptism means. You're dying. And when you rise up, you're rising with Christ. So the scenario here in Luke 7, verse 18 to 35, which is we're going to touch on today, is where John the Baptist has been thrown in prison by Herod. So we know that after Jesus' baptism, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and then from there came out, started preaching. But in that same time, we know that John the Baptist also had disciples that was following him. And John the Baptist was baptizing people with water. And Herod, being the king of that time, didn't like the fact that people were worshipping another god, because they must worship me. I'm the king of Israel. I'm the one that they must bow to. I'm the one that they must look to. But now this prophet is causing chaos in his kingdom, because people are repenting and they're turning to God. So then he says, bring me that John the Baptist guy who's causing havoc, having thrown into prison, and then he throws him into prison. And then we know once John the Baptist is in prison, Jesus' ministry starts. Eh? It says, then Jesus goes out and proclaimed the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. So the scenario that it's being, that I want us to take through is today, is that, so Luke is trying to show us, remember Luke is also one of the Gospels, chronological order is a very important thing if you read the book of Luke. The timelines, he's very intact with the timelines. It's not like Mark and Matthew, who focus not so much on the timeline, they focus more on the parable and how does it fit into that. But Luke, it's a timeline, it's quite a big thing. You'll see that. So in Luke 7, which is what we're going to touch on today, is that, so Jesus, he's healed the centurion's servant, where the centurion said, hey, Jesus, my servant, he's very ill, but you know, you don't have to come to my house because I'm a leader. When I say something, people come. When I say go, they go. So Jesus, if you just say the word, then my servant will be healed. So now Jesus says the word, the servant is healed. We know that. It says that, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Between all the people who studied the Torah, all the people who knew him, who knew the Messiah, didn't recognize the faith that the centurion guy had, because the centurion felt unworthy because letting this Messiah, the God, the Jesus, the Christ, the one who was and is to come into my house, I'm not worthy of that. So Luke is writing this scenario and he's sketching this scenario before he gets to John the Baptist. And we know that in that same scenario, while Jesus was walking, he spoke the word, the centurion's servant was healed. There was a widow's son's funeral coming past in that same time. And in that same time when the funeral came past, the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw the widow crying. And then what did he do? He said to the widow's son, rise. And what happened? He got out. He said to the young man, Luke 7 verse 14, it says, and he said to the young man, I say to you, rise. And the dead sat up and began to speak to Jesus. Crazy. So Luke is trying to write this whole scenario to us. And then he goes on to the story, which we're going to get to now, which is John the Baptist. So I want you to capture Luke's scenario that he's doing here. We need to stay faithful to the text, guys. So Luke's saying in the story, Jesus just healed the centurion's servant. The dead was just raised. John the Baptist's response. So the messenger from John the Baptist comes to him and says, from verse 18 I'm reading, it says, the disciples of John reported all things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him and said to him, to the Lord, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us. So remember, these are John the Baptist, the actual John the Baptist who's in prison, who has sent his disciples to Jesus to ask, go ask Jesus, is he the one, or should we look out for another? John the Baptist who said, prepare the way for the Lord because the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist who said, the one that I'm going to baptize, I'm not worthy of even touching the strap of his sandal. John the Baptist then sends those two people to Jesus and says, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, he healed many people. So it's Jesus, Luke's referring to Jesus, say, many people of diseases, plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered, go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have received the good news preached to them. Beautiful response. You think Jesus would have just publicly rebuked John the Baptist? Hey? If it was in our time, we would probably just publicly rebuke the person. What are you doing here? You are undermining my authority here. Why are you saying this? Wouldn't we have got it defensive? But Jesus responds and he says, after he says that to them and he says, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Wow. Offense is taken or given, eh? That's the scenario we always want to say. But Jesus in this time saying, hey, blessed is the one who's not offended by me. And let's read on to what Luke's trying to tell us more. He says, and when the John's messenger says, God, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning who? John. And he says to them, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? He's asking the crowds. So he's looking at the crowds. Remember the scenario? He had just spoken about the centurion's servant who got healed. The widow's son just got raised from the dead. Spoke up speaking. Now John the Baptist's guys are there. Hey, Jesus, are you the one or shall we look for another? Hey, Jesus, this is not looking like we're wanting it to look. So, but Jesus responds in love to it and he says, so what did you go out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing, hey, live luxury in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I sent my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, amongst those born of woman is none greater than John. Yet the one who's least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. We know that Jesus also says that the one who's least in the kingdom of God, let the children come to me. Do not hinder the children from coming to me. He's saying to that, John is still the greatest. Yes, he's the greatest prophet of all time. But the one who's least in the kingdom is still greater than him. When the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared that God is just. Having been baptized by the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? Jesus is speaking again. And what are these like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, we played the flute and you did not dance. We sang and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread, drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And then Jesus ends up saying, yet wisdom is justified by her children. The Amplified says it so nicely. Yet wisdom is vindicated, shown to be right by her children. And then it, between brackets, it says, by the lifestyle, moral character, good deeds of her followers. The Message says, if this man was a prophet, I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this would be falling over him. So that is something else. Just the Message. Sorry, that's a another comment that I've just added there. But why am I sharing the story with you? Why am I sharing the fact that John the Baptist of the great times fell short, questioned the Lord in that moment? Because some of the scholars says that, well, while I was reading the commentary on this, it says that John wanted a public declaration from Jesus to say that he's the Messiah. Then everything would stop there. Because everyone would hear that Jesus is the Messiah. But Jesus didn't respond in saying that. Because that's not Jesus' way. We sang it now. We said, even though we don't understand your ways, God, I will trust in you. John the Baptist didn't understand the way of God. Because remember, it wasn't his ways. God's ways is not our ways. God's thoughts is not our thoughts. The way God do things is not the way we think that it's going to happen. And that is how we always come to God. It's like, we have this idea, God, this is how you are. This is who you are. This is how I think this is going to play out. This is how I think the family scenario that I'm trusting God for is going to play out. God, this is how I think my community is going to play out. God, this is how I think this is going to play out. And God is saying, hold on. Hold on. Blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Are we going to allow offense to creep into our hearts today? Because God's ways is not our ways. The way God does stuff does not fit into our little box. John the Baptist didn't understand what Jesus was doing. He just wanted, the Bible says that he wanted to force public, not the Bible, sorry, the commentary says that he wanted to force Jesus for a public declaration to say, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah. We know later on in the book of Luke, Simon Peter confessed, but then Jesus also tells him, tell this to no one. Okay? Tell this to no one. Keep this to yourself, because this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Spirit of God. But we know that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit, because the Bible says that when Mary stepped into the room, John the Baptist was, he leaped. Hey? So he was filled with the Spirit. So what happened with John? Maybe John had a down day like some of us do. Hey? Down week, down year. 2023 was a year of character building. 2023 was a year of frustration. 2023 was a year of so much down disappointment. God, I'm not going to trust you in 2024. Because you've let me down in 2023, God. Is that what's currently in your journals? Hey? Is that what God's saying to you? Or are you saying, God, I'm giving you this blank page. I'm just going to trust you on this one. I'm not going to be like John the Baptist and question you, God. I'm not going to question your authority. I'm not going to question your kingship. God, I'm not going to question your lordship. God, I'm not going to question you, God, at the fact that you are the Son of God who was sent by the Father so that I can have a relationship with the Father. God, I'm not going to question it, because I know that what you have for me is in line with what the Father has for me. Your will is the way that I want, God. If it doesn't look like the way that I want it, God, you know what? I'm going to lay it all down. I'm going to lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today, Jesus. Lord, I'm going to lay down my preconceived ideas that I have for 2024. This year, I'm going to give you a blank page. God, I'm going to say to you, God, it's no longer me. It's no longer I. Lord, it's the same John that says, Lord, let me decrease so that he may increase. Hey? So what is our things about this week, this year? Which box did you place yourself in this year? Hey? Which box have you placed yourself in? Are you saying, God, I'm giving out everything. God, I'm going to empty myself before you. God, I'm just going to give it all to you. God, I'm just going to hand it over. God, I'm just going to lay it all down, Lord. I'm going to lay it all down. Before we go into a time of communion this morning, I'm just going to share one more story with you. Same in the book of Luke. Do you like that? Just go one back quickly. Do you like that? Option one, option two. It's such a today's thing, eh? If something doesn't fit my box, I have an option two. John the Baptist asks, hey, Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for another? I don't want to stick it out, God, because there's another option. God, this marriage is troubling me, but there, God, there's another option. The grass might be greener. No, it's not. Option one is the only way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one. There's no exception. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this morning, I'm just going to share one last story. The book of Luke. So we sang about it, the wineskins. And this is the word God's been laying on my heart, and I want to unpack it more. And like I said, we as the eldership, we're really going to unpack this word more, because we really feel what this is what God wanting to do in Shofar Boston this year. So the scenario with this is that Luke is speaking about fasting. He's questioning the fasting and saying, hey guys, don't be like the Pharisees when they fast. They don't wash themselves. They're like, oh, look all grumpy. Oh, look at me, I'm fasting. God's like, no, don't do that. We know that in that time as well, it was asked to him, hey, Jesus, your disciples is not fasting. What's happening here? And he's like, how can they fast when the bridegroom is with you? There will come a day when the bridegroom has left and they will fast and they will pray and they will seek and they will find. But when we fast, we shouldn't do it like we are doing it to show the world, hey, look at us, we are fasting. Hey, I'm fasting, I'm good, eh? I'm good, eh? Look at me, hey? Yeah, no, I'm good. This is giving, yeah. Yeah? Yeah, it's giving. It's giving life. No, so Jesus says, don't do that. And this scenario here, John's trying to tell us that the question that was asked to Jesus saying, hey, why don't you guys just fast? And he says, but how can they fast? The bridegroom is here. And then he goes and he teaches them a parable like we know Jesus always does. He says to them, no one that tears the garment, he says that if someone tears your garment, puts on an old garment, he will tear the new one in one piece and will not match it. This is, it's not on the screen, I'm just going a little bit back. This is Luke 5 from verse 36. And then he goes on to what we're actually wanting to do today, and he says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will spill and the skin will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one drinking old wine desires new wine, for he says the old is good. So God's basically saying to us, guys, you can't put new wine into old wineskins because what happens is it's going to press and it's going to destroy the skin and all the wine is going to spill out. And all those good wine is going to go to waste. But he's saying to us today, let me take out everything that you are. Give you a new wineskin that I can pour new wine into it that you are able to hold it. Let's lay down that preconceived ideas of how we see God's going to work out for us in 2024. How God's saying, hey God, this is how you came through for me in 2023. So I'm assuming 2024 is going to be the same. God, 2022 wasn't any different. So I'm assuming 2024 is going to be the same. God, I'm just assuming everything. God's saying, stop. Don't fall into the trap of John the Baptist. Don't think the way that I'm going to come through. Don't think you know the way that this is going to play out. Because you know what? I'm God. I'm the one that's worthy of sitting on that throne. I'm the one who laid down my life for you. All I'm asking for you is to trust me. And that is the heart of this today, is that as we're going to take communion, Sam done it already. We've done some inventory, which is good. The Bible says, whenever we take communion, let's take inventory about ourselves. Let's repent if we need to repent. Let's ask forgiveness where we need to ask forgiveness. But today, let's lay down all that preconceived ideas that we have in our heart about how we think that 2024 is going to play out. And let's allow Jesus in this time as we commune with Him, because communion is such a special bond between you and God. It's so intimate. You won't realize it, eh? It's a special time where God Himself says, in that time when you are with me, I'll be with you. In that moment as we partake of this communion, I am with you. Remember me. Remember me is the translation, but the Greek word speaks about fellowship. Koinonia. Meaning, God is intimately involved in my life now. God, you're intimately involved here with me right now. God, we are one in this moment. God, there's no separation between us when we take communion. That's why God says, do it often. Do it often. Because of the fellowship. Thank you, Retta. So, when we commune with God this morning, Let's lay down all our preconceived ideas. Let's give God a blank page. Let's say, Jesus, I'm giving it over to you. I'm laying it down at the cross. Lord, I'm emptying myself so that I can become a new wineskin today, God, that can carry this new wine that you have for me. I don't want to come to you with this old ideas, God. I want to come fully, blankly to you today, Jesus. This is a moment between you and God, so I'm going to give some time. And just lay it all down, guys. Just lay it all down.
I just feel I need to do an altar call this morning before we go on any further. I feel like you came into this year and your thing is filled from top to bottom. But letting go is the difficult part for you. Letting it down is the difficult part for you. Laying it all down because it feels like you're losing a sense of control. But in order for you to grow, you need to let go. Because the more you control it, the more you're holding on to that, the more it's going to keep you down. That is the harsh reality. If that is you, I would love to pray with you this morning. I would really love to pray with you. Some of the elders is going to come up and we're going to pray. We're going to sing that song again, New Wine, as a declaration this morning to say, God, I'm laying down my old flames to you. If you're struggling to say, God, I'm laying down my old flames, something is keeping you back from doing that. Something or someone or yourself is keeping you back from saying, God, I'm laying down my old flames. We would love to pray with you. Like I said, we're going to be in front. Myself, some of the elders, we would really love to pray with you. Don't walk out here today struggling on your own. God's not called you to struggle on your own. We are part of a community, a family, a body of Christ. Thanks, Sam. Let's all stand together. And I want you to, this morning when it gets to that bridge that it says, I'm laying down my old frame. God, I don't understand your ways, but I'm going to trust you. Let it be your declaration today. You declare today, God, I'm laying it down. God, I don't understand. God is frustrated, but I don't know, God, but I'm laying it down. God, you are the one that I'm trusting in. Remember what Jesus says, blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Don't let offense creep into your heart, guys. Don't get offended with Christ. His ways is not your ways. His thoughts is not your thoughts. Thanks, Sam.